Alien Invasion of Israel is a Judgment from God, and this is part two. Last week I stated that many of our fellow citizens, our native white Americans as it were, are beginning to realize that aliens to our race are a threat to our people. And they're seeing this primarily in two ways now, that those who are already in America are taking over political power and even ownership of much of America, whether it's land or industry or whatever. And they also have, by law, special privileges above our race for jobs and things like that. And number two, aliens in other lands do represent a war threat against us. In other words, military invasion is possible from nations which are alien to our race. And then during last week's study, I read another threat which is now becoming visible, that even those who are not here in America but are in foreign lands are actually buying control of American farms, timberlands, and industry. And by the way, recreation areas too. They're buying motels and all sorts of vacation resorts all over the nation. And so they don't have to come to America in order to take control. They're using our foreign aid dollars, the money that's stolen from us in international trade, and coming back here and buying these things. Now, as I read this, and then I read the Bible, we saw that what is happening to us is what God said would happen to Israel when Israel was in disobedience to God's law. And we read some of these things from Isaiah and from Jeremiah. Turn with me back to the first chapter of Jeremiah again, and we'll read verses 14 through 16. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. So you see, this is both a religious thing and what we would call a materialistic thing. God brought his judgment on the ancient city of Jerusalem and of Judah because they actually turned away from the God of Israel and worshipped other gods, and then he said they also worshipped the works of their own hands. Now you can take that two ways. It could mean they're worshipping idols which they made with their own hands, or they are saying that they have gotten their strength of their nation and their wealth and their power through their own hands, and then in effect gave themselves credit for that which God had done. And I believe that if you take a close look at American industry and American business and the American selling professions and the American farmer, you will discover that most of them actually believe that they themselves, through their own minds and intelligence and muscles, have gotten the wealth that they have. And even some of our good patriots and conservatives will often tell us, well, it's our Constitution and our free enterprise system that has made America a wealthy nation. No, God Almighty made America a wealthy nation, and we are worshiping the work of our own hands when we say we've done it ourselves. So we're in disobedience in that way, as apparently, or probably, the ancient nation of Judah was. Now, I read from some news sources the last time about how the aliens are getting this control over the United States of America and actually buying up property. And this morning I want to read an article by Martin A. Larson. Some of you know him. He lives here in the Valley. And he writes articles for the Spotlight newspaper. Here is one about laws, national laws in the United States, which have been passed, which give special tax exemption to foreigners. And I'll read this for you. He says, outrageous as many of the immunities and inequities embedded in the Internal Revenue Code and conferred upon favored individuals and entities, sections 892 and 895, certainly rank among the first. And Here's what section 895 of the Internal Revenue Code says. Income derived by a foreign central bank of issue from obligations of the United States or any agency or instrumentality thereof, which are owned by such foreign central bank of issue, or derived from interest on deposits with persons carrying on the banking business, shall not be included in gross income and shall be exempt from taxation under this subtitle. That's the quote from the law. Larson says, simply stated, this means, for example, that potential profit to be made on the 18,000 tons of gold now lying in the vault of the New York Bank of the Federal Reserve System and earmarked to foreign ownership, that is, foreign banks of issue like the Reich Bank, the bank banks, and so on, will not be subject either to taxation or disclosure. In other words, they'll buy our gold for X number of dollars per ounce. They will sell it for whatever price they can get, make billions, and they pay no income tax here in America on it. Section 892 states, quote, the income of foreign governments or international organizations received from investments in the United States in stocks, bonds, or other domestic securities owned by such foreign governments or by international organizations, or from interest on deposits in the United States of monies belonging to such foreign governments or international organizations, or from any other source within the United States, shall not be included in gross income and shall be exempt from taxation under this title. That is a law passed by your representatives in Congress. Larson comments, simply stated, again, this means that any foreign government may derive unlimited, undisclosed, and untaxed income from any kind of investment in the United States. And then he goes on to point out that, for instance, the Panamanian government, to which we have just given the Panama Canal, and to whom we are paying millions of dollars, can actually take those millions, come back to America, buy farms, industries, stocks, bonds, or deposit the money in American banks and pay no income tax on the profits. Now, you can't do that. American citizen would pay income tax. Foreign banks and, quote, international organizations do not pay taxes on money earned in the United States, and that's the law of the land. As he points out here a little further, this means that any corporation operating in two or more countries then comes under the definition of an international organization, and it can own property and receive income from American property and pay no income tax in the United States. It's the law of the land. What does it mean? It means that the men who rule your government have actually written laws which provide for aliens who have purchased American property to pay no income tax in America on their profits. And yet if you don't pay the income tax on the few thousand dollars that you earn by working 40 or 50 hours a week, they will take your property and put you in jail. Now this is, I believe, is an example of how far this thing has gone to transfer American wealth to the alien. Here is another article which doesn't mean too much to people outside of the southwestern United States, but you Arizona people understand this. The headline on this article is from our local paper, and it says, expert says state allows too much farm irrigation. Quote, despite a steady population growth rate, Arizona water resources could be sufficient through the year 2020, Wesley Steiner, state water engineer and executive director of the Arizona Water Commission, said Wednesday. Steiner warned, however, that the water supply would be adequate only if agricultural irrigation is reduced 40% and if Indian water rights are negotiated instead of litigated in lengthy and costly court procedure. And then I won't read the rest of the article, I'll just paraphrase it. In effect, this man, who is the Arizona State Water Engineer and Executive Director of the Arizona Water Commission, says what we have to do is reduce the amount of water that is going to white farmers in Arizona and give the water to the Indians. Now, the Indians come under the Bible definition of aliens to our race. And there is a move afoot in Arizona by men in elected or appointed offices to take the water away from the white farmers in Arizona and assign that water to the Indian. What is happening? Well, the alien is taking over power, land, property, profits, and being given favored status over the white man in America. Now, Isaiah 42, before I give you any more bad news, because we read this last week and it bears repeating, it bears committing to memory, I should think. Isaiah 42, beginning in verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled, and God is speaking through the prophet here about Israel. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey. In other words, they've been given to be robbed. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? And some of your margins will say the last phrase there could be for the latter days. I believe this is an end-time prophecy. And then he asks the question, who gave Jacob for spoil and Israel to the robbers? He is speaking of Israel being robbed, being plundered, and then God says, who gave Israel up to that situation or condition? Here's the answer. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient under his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Now I don't know about you, but when I read those verses, I see a great hope for Israel. Did you understand what I said? God says, I have given Israel to the robbers, I have given them to the spoilers, and Pastor Emery says, I see great hope in that. Think of the other situation. What if it were true that the aliens inside America and outside America were taking ownership and control of our nation and our people in spite of God, and God couldn't stop them? Then I would say we would have no hope. But if the Bible is true, and I believe it is, we are in trouble. We are being robbed and spoiled because God Almighty is allowing, even helping, the heathen to do the plundering and the spoiling of his Israel people. And that means the heathen, the alien to Israel, is absolutely helpless in the hand of God. They can do nothing except that God allows it. Now, to me, that's a great hope. I certainly am very pleased that it's not the other thing, that these aliens are able to do this because they're intelligent and cunning and are doing this of their own power. No, they're not. God is allowing this, and therefore it is under God's control. And I certainly sleep a lot better at night, even though I do read this kind of in the paper. In fact, when I read these things, what they tell me is the end of the age is upon us, and God is bringing chastisement on Israel, or we will turn from our wicked ways and honor God and call upon him. And the news media, of course, is just giving us evidence that God's word is coming to pass. Now, even though I read these things, and many people are reading these things, many of our patriotic organizations and conservatives and those who are concerned about America are telling people the same thing I'm telling you, that the enemies of our nation are conquering our nation. But I say this, along with that, Israel must hear God's law and God's prophecies. This news of what the enemy is doing is nothing more than frightening and terrifying unless you hear God's prophecies with it, and God's law and God's word. Turn to Jeremiah 14, which we read last week and bears repeating, because some of these people in ancient Judah refused to believe that these things could come to pass. Verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. It appears that God considered it wickedness when the ministers and people in Judah refused to believe that God would send the sword and famine on Judah. That unbelief, that denial that God would do what God said he would do was also called wickedness. And God said, they will be destroyed by the very thing I have said will come, but they say, oh no, it will never come. And as I said last week, I think of tens of thousands of ministers in the United States of America are guilty of this wickedness when they preach this terrible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Because what they're doing are saying to God's Israel people, you are not going to be here when there's any trouble. You're going to go off to heaven where happiness and bliss reigns, and you'll never suffer these things. They're lying to the people. They are not preaching what God said would come to pass. Then, some of the people in ancient Judah finally got around to believing that the Chaldeans and the Babylonians would. And I should comment before I read this verse or passage. There are many people in the United States of America, including myself and you people, who have been trying to tell our fellow citizens for years that the Reds are coming, the Communists are coming, the aliens are coming. And many of them did not believe us and still do not believe us. Some of them now see this. Now they believe. And some of them say, well, all right, now what we have to do is to rise up and get our guns and get our swords, and we're going to drive these people out of the land. Well, this happened in ancient Judah, and they decided they were going to have alliance with Pharaoh of Egypt and get his armies to come in, and they were going to drive these Babylonians, these Chaldeans, out of the land. Turn to Jeremiah 37. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, what shall you say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me? Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. In other words, these allies, these friends they had raised up to help them fight the army that God said he would send against them, God said, that army will go back to Egypt and will help you. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city, and take it, and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans against you, and there remained wounded men among them, yet should they, the wounded Chaldeans, yet should they rise up every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire. God said to Judah, I have decreed that the Chaldeans are going to come in and conquer this nation and this city. And if you fight against them and wound every one of their army, those wounded men will rise up off the field of battle and come in here and do what I said they were going to do. Now to me that means that God Almighty is telling us that if he has prophesied judgment and chastisement at the hand of the alien and the heathen and the red Bolsheviks or communists and Jews or whatever you want to call them, if we rise up and attempt to slay them, even though we wound every one of them, God will raise them back up and they'll come in wounded and do what God says they'll do in this land. Now, I'm sorry to say that there are some men among our kingdom identity preachers who are trying to condition our people to get their guns and start training and get ready to start killing the enemy in this land. Well, I don't deny, but what God's word and God's prophecies, which we'll get into later, tell us that our enemies will be slain in the land. But they will not be slain until Israel turns to God. And we can go out and waste our lives and risk our lives and end up in prison and jail and get hurt and cause other people to get hurt by convincing them to go out and start killing the enemy, and God will just raise that enemy back up and they'll come in and continue doing exactly what they're doing. They'll continue buying America, taking over America, getting in America's government, and bringing judgment on this nation until these people do what God says they must do, turn and obey His laws, statutes, and judgments. I remember some years ago that some of the right-wing anti-communists were convinced that all they had to do was publish all the names of and identify the men in official positions in the United States government who were communists, and that would be the end of the communist threat in America. And they began to publish their names and expose them. Well, you know what happened? Most of those people, and you can check back on the names of some of them if you wish, most of them who were given great publicity by the right wing as being traitors and enemies actually were raised to higher positions in the government. Henry Kissinger is an example. One man by the name of Frank Capel, and I commend him on it, I think he did it good, I think he should know these things, wrote a book identifying Henry Kissinger as having been a member of a Soviet espionage apparatus as far back as 1954. And that book had wide distribution among the conservatives and patriots in America. Well, Henry Kissinger became our Secretary of State and was made the Chief of Intelligence so that he was in the position of handling all intelligence from the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the FBI, and the CIA. In fact, he was more powerful than President Nixon when he was in office. Henry Kissinger was an example of a man who was what? Well, wounded by the exposure that he belonged to a Soviet espionage apparatus and was actually a spy. What did God do with him? And think of what I just said. What did God do with Henry Kissinger? He allowed him to be placed in the top ruling position in this Israel nation. I think that's an example, and you can find scores of them, where men were exposed as enemies. And what happened? All they did was get more authority, more power, more influence in the United States of America. God said, "For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire." Now, God had decreed in ancient Judah that the city of Jerusalem was going to be burned. And we'll get into the prophecies here where we'll find that God had decreed not that Jerusalem or America is going to be burned, but that Israel is going to be turned. And these enemies are going to rise up over us until we do that. Now, I understand your desire to fight. I understand your desire to oppose. And yet I still believe God's word is what our people must hear. It does no good whatsoever to tell them the alien is coming and the communists are coming unless we tell them also why the alien is winning and what God intends to accomplish by letting this alien come in here and rule over us. The reason, of course, is we are God's Israel people. And God has commanded us certain laws, statutes, and judgments, and we are to obey. Now, just in case you think that perhaps America is not in disobedience, I'd remind you that 50% of our race pays no attention to God and His Word at all, attends no manner of church in the United States, and a very high percentage of the 50% who do go to church of some sort, more or less regularly, neither hear the law of God nor desire to hear it. In fact, if the minister starts preaching too much on the law, they often will walk out. And on top of that, as you people can testify, the vast majority of the people to whom you have talked and witnessed of the truth that we are the Israel people, refuse to even investigate your claims. It is almost as if they do not want to be the Israel people. They are fearful that if they listen to you, when you insist we are descended from Israel, that if they investigated, they might find out they were, and they don't want to know that. They want to be Gentiles, non-Israelites. Turn to Ezekiel 20. God is talking through the prophet here to an Israel who was worshiping other gods and following the ways of the heathen. Verse 27, "Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me." And then he goes on and describes all of the things that Israel is doing in disobedience. And then verse 30, "Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredoms after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day." And we discussed that in the class before the church. How much of what passes for religion in America is actually the doctrines of Baal. Our people are worshiping and following Baal. And God told ancient Israel, "You're polluting yourself in these things. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say." And here's what Israel was saying: "We shall be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone." That is what most of the Israelites in America are saying to God today. We don't want to be Israelites, nor like what Israelites are supposed to be. We want to be like the heathen. You know, there's been a lot of argument in the newspaper about this conversion to metrics. And do you realize that metrics is a heathen measurement? It comes from heathen countries. It's not Israelitish or biblical at all. And yet many people say, even in measuring your carpeting and your lumber and your boards and your land, we are going to be like the heathen. In our religion, we are like the heathen. And when some of us come along and say, well, we're not heathen at all, we're the house of Israel, they refuse to talk to us, they turn away from us, they want fellowship with us, they won't have us in their homes, we're called some kind of kooks and coats and crazy people because we talk about our being Israel. Why? They don't want to be Israelites. I think perhaps they recognize that if they really are Israelites, then they have some responsibility far exceeding what they want to take upon themselves. They don't want responsibility of being Israelites. God said to ancient Israel, when you say we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone, in other words, not to serve God, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And then God tells Israel what he'll do. It's taken me years to realize this thing that seems to be in the minds of our people. One of the major reasons they intellectually reject our message that we're Israel is because they don't want to be corrected. They want to continue in their sins and in their iniquity. And even the very knowledge that we are God's chosen people, Israel, brings on us an understanding that we must turn from our wicked ways and serve the God who made us, the God who chose our fathers, and they don't want it. Well, God said, all right, you think you're going to be the heathen, I'm going to rule over you with fury. So the problem of the alien and of the heathen is really not a problem of the alien at all, is it? It's a problem of Israel. We are the problem. And the very fact of these things being true that I've said is proof in itself that we are Israel. For those who don't know that message, if the Jews were Israel, in their disobedience to God, they should be coming under condemnation and invasion by aliens. And they're not. In fact, they are the ones, like Henry Kissinger, and I've been surprised in conversation with Christian people to find out that a lot of Christians don't even know that Kissinger is a Jew. And many of the other top officials in our government are Jewish. We have literally a Jewish government ruling over us, but many of our churchgoers do not know these people are Jews. But the fact they're Jews is proof itself that they're not Israel. They can't be, or the prophecies are not being fulfilled. The problem is still Israel. Turn to Lamentations, which comes right after Jeremiah, beginning in verse 1. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord hath swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. Who did this? We know from history it was the Chaldeans. God says, I did it. Verse 3. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. That's biblical language for saying God has withdrawn his holding power over the enemies of Israel and let them come forward. He's taken his right hand off of them. And he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire, which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary, and slew all that were present to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds, and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. Do you realize what he said? He said, God is an enemy to Israel. How many people among our Israel people today would sit in a church in America and allow a minister to tell them that when Israel is in disobedience, when they are in disobedience, God is their enemy? You know, the great theme of the church of today is that God loves everyone. God is love. God doesn't do anything to hurt anybody. All he wants to do is just help everybody and do everything for everyone. God is not only an adversary to the heathen, but when Israel is in disobedience, God discontinues his adversary position to the heathen and becomes the adversary of the house of Israel. And that's what my Bible says. God's word says it. Let's read on. Verse 6. And he hath violently taken away his tabernacle, as if it were a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. God has removed the worship of himself or his tabernacle from Israel, and despise the politicians and the clergy when Israel is in disobedience. The Lord hath cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of a solemn feast. Because Israel refused to obey God, God turned over their palaces to the enemy. That means their government, doesn't it? Because Israel is ruled by a king out of the palace. God turned the palace over to enemies. He gave them political control over Israel, and he gave the sanctuary, the churches, into the hand of the enemy. Now, I've been saying this for some years, and I will admit that it took me years to understand this myself, that apparently, a great majority of the men in the pulpits of America are actually the enemies of our race and nation. I wondered for years why the clergymen in America could not see and understand how the Reds, how the communists, were taking over America and threatening us with military invasion. And I know I did, and I know perhaps hundreds, maybe thousands of other Americans have gone to their ministers and showed them in perfect proof that the Reds plan to destroy, conquer, and rule over America, and that minister never repeats that warning from his pulpit to his flock. You'd think that just any normal man who's the husband of a wife and the father of children and has generations following him in this nation would want to tell his people and to warn them of our enemies, and the clergy simply does not do it. There are 300,000 ministers in America. And I would guess that there are probably less than 50 in the whole nation that ever utter any kind of a warning from the pulpit to their people about what is possibly going to happen to this nation. Well, it took a lot of reading of God's Word for me to finally justify in God's Word what I had suspected in my own mind, and that is the pulpits are occupied by enemies of God's people, Israel, and now I find God has put them there. God has put them there. I don't feel so apologetic anymore when I tell people that I'm convinced most of the clergymen are our enemies, because God said He'd do it in Israel. All right, let's read on. Verse 8, the Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn His hand from destroying. Therefore He made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her kings and her princes are among the Gentiles or among the nations. And God hath taken away our defenses in America, and our kings and our princes are doing what? They are working for the Gentiles, for the alien, and for the heathen. I just read you laws that they passed in our own houses of the national legislature, where alien and heathen people and nations can buy our land, buy our factories, and pay no taxes on any of the profits they make in America. God said the kings and princes are among the nations. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The preachers get no truth from God. That's why most of what we know as Christian churches preach false doctrine, because God does not give them the truth. Do you realize what he's saying here? They get no vision from the Lord. Some of our people have written some very good books that give the truth of God's Word in simple, explainable, easily understood terms, and these go to ministers by the thousands, and they still get up in their pulpits and preach that the Jews are Israel, we're Gentiles, the rapture is going to come and take you off the earth, the Antichrist is going to come and rule for 7 years. Everything they utter is false doctrine. Why? Because God said, I'll put enemies in their churches and I'll not give them my truth to preach. Prophecy coming to pass. But I think the people should be told. Now, it takes most of us hours and sometimes sermon after sermon to try to convince Americans that the enemy is in Washington and the enemy is in the pulpits, and here God has said it in 3 verses of Scripture in Lamentations 2. He said, I'm going to put the enemy in your palaces. I'm going to put the enemy in my sanctuary, in other words, in my pulpits. Verse 14, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. your ministers have not told you the real sin of what you are guilty. Instead, they're telling you false things. They're telling you we're in trouble because we don't love the Negro. They're telling you we're in trouble because we don't integrate our schools. They're telling you we're in trouble because we're anti-Semitic. You see, they lay false burdens on our people. They do not tell them the truth of what it is we are doing wrong. Our money system, our economic system, the charging of usury for the lending of money, to me, is one of the greatest sins in Israel. And not one minister in 10,000 tells our people that our economic troubles are because we violate God's economic laws. Our race problems in America are because we're integrating with the heathen, which is forbidden by God. And the ministers tell us that God says we must integrate with the heathen. And that's what God is saying is happening in Israel. When Israel is in disobedience, the prophets will not tell you the truth of what you must do to get yourself in line with God's word. Now my time is up, and we're going to continue and see what is going to happen if the things are coming to pass in America, which I've just read out of the Bible, and they have come to pass, then I believe the rest of the things that God says will come to pass also, and that involves our turning and repenting and praising God and asking His help. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this written history and prophecy that thou hast given us of old, that we may read and know that thou art God, because thou hast spoken of the past, of the present, and told us of things to come. Father, we pray for our people Israel. Lord God, help us all to see the iniquity of our ways and the things we are doing in violation of thy law and thy wonderful and divine precepts. Father, help us to turn from our wicked ways and turn away from the abominations and the idols of the heathen. Help us. Pour out thy Spirit upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.